This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, entitled Lord Vishvadev's Teachings, text number 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasmat bhavanto hirayena jataha sarve mahiyamsham amon sanabhyam aklishta buddhya bharatam bhajyadvam shu Shushushanam Tad Bharanam Rajanam Tasmad Bhavanto Hidayena Jata Sarve Mahiyam Sam Amun Santabham Aklistya Buddhya Bharatam Bhajadvam Shushushanam tad bharanam pajanam Tasmad bhavanto hidayena jata Sarve mahiyam sam amun sanabham Aklista buddhya bharatam bhajadvam Shushushanam tad bharanam pajanam Tasmad bhavanto hidayena jata Sarve mahiyam sam ahum sanabham Aklistya buddhya bharatam bhajadvam Shushushanam tad bharanam pajanam Tasmat bhavanto hidayena jata Sarve mahiyam samam sanabham Aklista buddhya bharatam bhajanam Shushushanam tadharanam bhajanam Tasmat bhavanto hirayena jata Sarve mahiyam samamum sanabham Aklista buddhya bharatam bhajadvam Shushushanam tadharanam bhajanam Tasmat bhavanto hidayena jata Sarve mahiyam samamum sanabham Sahurya Bharatam Bhagatvam Shushushanam Tadharanam Pajanam Mataji Asmatavanto Dayena Chatta Sarve Mahiyam Samamu tadanto hidayena jata. Sare mahiyam samahum santamu. Akrista buddhya bharatam bharadvam. Tasmat, therefore, because I am the Supreme, Bhavantaha, you, Hidayena, from my heart, Jataha, born, Sarve, all, Mahiyamsam, the best. Amum, that, Sanabhyam, brother, Aklista Buddhya, with your intelligence, without material contamination, Bharantam, Bharatam, Bharata, Pajadvam, just try to serve. Shushushanam, service, tat, that, bharanam, prajanam, ruling over the citizens. Translation, my dear boys, you are all born of my heart, which is the seat of all spiritual qualities. Therefore, you should not be like materialistic and envious men. You should accept your eldest brother, Bharata, who is exalted in devotional service. If you engage yourself in Bharata's service, your service to him will include my service, and you will rule the citizens automatically. Please repeat, my dear boys, you are all born of my heart, which is the seat of all spiritual qualities. Therefore, you should not be like materialistic and envious men. You should accept your eldest brother Bharata, who is exalted in devotional service. If you engage yourselves in Bharata's service, your service to him will include my service, and you will rule the citizens automatically. Prabhupada's Vangai Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this verse, the word Hridaya indicates the heart, which is also called Ura, the chest. The heart is situated within the chest, and although instrumentally the son is born with the aid of the genitals, he is actually born from within the heart. According to the heart's situation, the semen takes the form of a body. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, when one begets a child, his heart should be purified through the ritualistic ceremony known as Garbhadhana. Vishabhadev's heart was always uncontaminated and spiritual. Consequently, all the sons born from the heart of Vishabhadev were spiritually inclined. Nonetheless, Vishabhadev suggested that his eldest son was superior, and he advised the others to serve him. All the brothers of Bharat Maharaj were advised by Vishabhadev to adhere to Bharat's service. The question may be asked why one should be attached to family members, for in the beginning it was advised that one should not be attached to home and family. However, it is also advised, Mahiya Sampara Rajo Bishika, one has to serve the Mahiyam, one who is very spiritually advanced, Mahatsevam Varamahu Vimukte. By serving the Mahat, the exalted devotee's one's path for liberation is open. The family of Rishabhadev should not be compared to an ordinary materialistic family. Bharat Maharaj, Rishabhadev's eldest son, was specifically very exalted. For this reason, the other sons were advised to serve him for his pleasure. That was to be their duty. The Supreme Lord was advising Bharat Maharaj to be the chief ruler of the planet. This is the real plan of the Supreme Lord. In the Battle of Kurukshetra, we find that Lord Krishna wanted Maharaj Yudhisthira to be the supreme emperor of this planet. He never wanted Duryodhana to take the post. As stated in the previous verse, Lord Rishabhadev's heart is Hridayam Yatra Dhamaha. The characteristic Dharma is also explained in Bhagavad Gita, surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To protect Dharma, Parityanaya Sadhugunam, the Lord always wants the ruler of the earth to be a devotee. Then everything goes nicely for the benefit of everyone. As soon as a demon rules the earth, everything becomes chaotic. At the present moment, the world is inclined towards the democratic process. But the people in general are all contaminated by the modes of passion and ignorance. Consequently, they cannot select the right person to head the government. The president is selected by the votes of ignorant sudras. Therefore, another sudra is elected. And immediately, the entire government becomes polluted. If people strictly followed the principles of Bhagavad Gita, they would elect a person who is the Lord's devotee. Then automatically there will be good government. Rishabhadev therefore recommended Bharat Maharaj as the emperor of this planet. Serving a devotee means serving the Supreme Lord. For a devotee always represents the Lord. When a devotee is in charge, the government is always congenial and beneficial for everyone. End of purport. Om Agyanam Tanandasya Agyanasrakaya Chakshulmi Tanatasmai Sri Guruvai Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutade Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shandavari Pastyate Satharini Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again, my dear boys, you're all born of my heart, which is the seat of all spiritual qualities. Therefore, you should not be like materialistic and envious men. You should accept your eldest brother, Bharata, who is exalted in devotional service. If you engage yourselves in Bharata's service, your service to him will include my service, and you will rule the citizens automatically. The Lord, incarnation of the Lord Rishabhadev is speaking to his sons and advise them that they should accept the eldest son, Bharata, whom Bharat Varsha was named after because he was an exemplary king. They should follow him. And by doing so, that will, he says, your service to him will include my service. So that is a way of the parampara, the authority. One must accept authority. One has to accept authority if one wants to progress. But we accept, either we accept the authority of the material energy or we accept the authority of the spiritual energy. But we have to accept one. We can cry freedom and independence, but it's just a noise. Because nobody is free and nobody is independent. There is choice. You can be subordinate to the material energy, or you can be subordinate to the spiritual energy. You have to be. Now we find ourselves in this material world, everyone is subordinate to the material energy. But by good fortune, by the mercy of Krishna, and his different incarnations, like Vrishabha did, we have gained the good fortune of understanding there is that we don't have to be the servant of the material energy, which means the senses. There is an alternative. So this knowledge is essential. This spiritual knowledge is essential for the deliverance of the conditioned souls in the material world. So therefore Krishna comes and disseminates his knowledge and empowers his devotees, representatives, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I imparted this knowledge to Vibhishan. And he imparted to his son. And this way the knowledge came to the saintly kings, Raja Rishis. And they governed according to those rules, this transcendental knowledge. Then there's a good progressive society. So it has to be there. So this is the Lord's mercy that he comes directly or indirectly or partially according to his desire to give us this opportunity to become free from the samsara. So it's just his kindness. See, that's his program. And so these are the different issues we're dealing with in the story of the Srimad Bhagavatam, dealing with different topics of the world, but specifically the running of the planet. These sections we're describing the descendants of Swayambhuva Manu. And we're hearing how these great kings like and devotee kings like Dhruva Maharaj, and others who weren't so great devotees, like King Venu, who was had a problem due to some bad blood he had in him, and he turned wrong. They made him king anyway, because there was no king, the Brahmins. The blind uncle is better than no uncle. And he was doing the job. I mean, everyone was fearful of him, so there was law and order, but he became He was already naturally a very cruel person. But they took a risk. But then he went against the principles of managing, in principles of the Vedas. He becomes so puffed up, so proud of his position, and he started to make his own rules. So then the Brahmins were obliged to remove him, and they killed him by mantra. And then from his body, without a mother, they produced a partial incarnation. A partial incarnation came out, King Prithu. Using the bones of a sage, because Veda come from good stock, they thought they could utilize that body because he's a good heritage there. So they churned his ties with the bones of that Itchi, I believe, one sage. Like normally, the man and woman, they churn their thighs and produce a child. So it's not, they churn the bones with the thighs of Varnum, produced Prithu Maharaj, who was a Avish of the Lord, an ideal ruler. Then, and successful, he goes back to Godhead. Then who comes after that? There was a Pachina Bharasat, who was a little off. He got a bit attached, and Narada Muni gave him a lot of lessons, and us in the narration of King Paranjan, the city of nine gates, and all the big, lot of heavy preaching he got. We got waking us up to the reality of this material world. So we guess he was successful. He changed his mind eventually and went to the meditate on the Lord, perform devotional service. Then that, was it? Srinath Bharasat? Nabi? Did not, huh? Nabi was attached, right, to the celestial girl. He wanted. Oh no, so there's a recent one. Nabi, who was the other one who got attached to Urvasi? He wanted a son, and Brahma bought him Urvasi. Who was that? Huh? I can't hear. Anyway, He wasn't a success story. He got overly attached. He fell in love, and his heart overruled his intelligence. And after she left him, then she went back to the heavenly planets. And but he was still lovesick, so he was meditating on her. So he went to her planet afterwards, where she was, to be with her. So that's it wasn't a success story. Now where is he now? We don't know. Because in Pitriloka, I think they go to Pitriloka, you stay there as long as your ancestors are doing Pinda, Shraddha, as long as they're offering this Shraddha every here, then that gives you, they earn punya for you, and you stay up there. That's why you're obliged to have a son, because only the son can perform this ceremony. That's why you more or less have to have a son to propagate in the Karmakanda system. But of course in Kali Yuga, practically nobody follows this system anymore. A little bit, but it's dying out. So where is he now? We can't say. Who knows where he is, because he couldn't stay there. So he could be anywhere. So he wasn't a success story. Nabi saw the Supreme Lord face to face, right? and the but he wanted a, he was desirous of a son. So even though the Supreme Lord appeared directly before him, still he didn't, he was determined to have a son, a nice son. And sometimes it's mentioned as determined and sometimes it's mentioned as stubbornness. He was so stubborn that he didn't give up the idea of, you know, trying to make a nice place here and go back to Godhead. And the Lord, he still pursued, but at the end of life he did go somewhere, Badrik Ashram or somewhere, so we can say he was a success. And who was the last one? Agnidra, he got on order, he got deviated for a while and come back and did his ruling for a long time, but eventually he was successful. He gave it all up afterwards. Prabhupada mentioned it. So these histories are there for us to judge on who's successful and who's not successful. What are their activities? What are their mentalities? Who we should follow? Who we shouldn't follow? So here, Prabhupada mentioned a few points about the Vishabhadev is advocating Sanatan or Varnashram Dharma, of course Sanatan Dharma also, but that's at this particular time, and he's advocating they perform austerities and yoga because that was the Yuga Dharma. And Prabhupada also mentions here that the samskars of Garbhadhana, they should be performed to attract a suitable or a spiritually inclined soul will come there if the mentality is right, because Prabhupada mentions he's born from the heart. The Lord is saying, my dear sons, my dear boys, you're all born from my heart, because it's the heart, in the region of the heart, the mind is also situated within the heart. And as Krishna says, whatever you remember, whatever your consciousness is fixed at the time of death, that state you will attain. So when you leave your body, your consciousness takes you, in your subtle body, mind, intelligence and identity, will take you to a suitable body. Similarly, when you're coming in, that the consciousness at the time of inviting a soul in also decides what quality of soul you're gonna call in. So it's in our own interest that we perform these ceremonies, and our family life will be a lot easier. We get a good children, you know. So then you have your life makes your life a lot easier. because the duty of the parents is to take their children back to Godhead. So if you've already got a spiritually advanced soul, it's going to save you a lot of work. So that would be, they're actually coming from the, that's why it says they're actually coming, born from the heart, because it's a consciousness is there, is deciding what kind of, the mentality is deciding what kind of person it will be. And you should accept Bharat as the leader, as the king, and serve him. Because he's already preached heavily on family life and family attachment. But he says, he qualifies himself before he says you should follow, accept Bharat. You should not be like materialistic and envious men. First he says that. You should accept your brother Bharat, because he's advanced in devotional service. So, in other words, he's saying on the material platform, then one shouldn't become attached. But then they have the quote there that for the Mahatma, one should be attached to the Mahatma. So Bharat is a Mahatma, he's a great soul. You can be attached to him, it's not a problem. Attachment you can't stop, you've got to be attached to something. Right? Attachment means desire. So you can't be without desire, you can't be without attachment. So where are you going to, what are we going to become attached to? That is our work. What should we become attached to? We have to be attached. We're already attached, right? We're already attached to the body and the idea that I can be happy and satisfied in life, and this is, I'm working towards that goal. Everyone is working towards those goals. So you're attached to whatever you think, we think that we can achieve these goals by, we'll be attached to that. We'll follow that. But of course we're suffering from imperfect senses, and the senses can't be trusted, as we know, or we may not know, but we've been here, according to scripture, countless, billions of births. And that's a result of following your mind and senses. This body is a result of following our mind and senses in our last life, and not following the mind of Rishabhadev or the scripture. If we had it done, we wouldn't be here, right? If we had followed completely, if we were very chaste in our last birth and obedient, we wouldn't take birth again, right? Wouldn't need another body. Because we would have no more impossible desires to fulfill. An impossible desire is, how can I be satisfied and happy in the materially? It's an impossible dream. Krishna says this material world is temporary and it's full of misery. It's meant to give us, it's meant for suffering. It's a place of punishment, rectification. That's how it's designed. But our idea is how to enjoy it. Yeah? The body is awarded as punishment, the material body made of earth, water. It's a punishment, but our idea is how we can enjoy this punishment. We forget the punishment, but we think, no, how can we enjoy it? How can we make it stay a long time and enjoy it to the max? So because that's an impossible dream, it hasn't happened. It's never happened in history. And we've tried and tried again. For years and years we've been trying. We never achieved that position. So we should have faith from our own experiences, as well as the scripture, from our own experience. We've never been satisfied. That's why we're here. Otherwise, why we come to Krishna consciousness? We couldn't fulfill our desires outside. Nothing can satisfy our desires outside, so now we come into Krishna to satisfy our desires, right? But this process won't leave us baffled and confused. This process will purify our desires. So eventually we start to act for Krishna, to fulfill Krishna's desire, instead of worrying about our own desires. So that's all this history we're going through. It's all about that, you know. People have different types of desires and aspirations. And who are the fortunate ones? And who are the unfortunate ones? But Krishna, he knows what we actually need. Therefore, he comes time and time again. Right? So many times he keeps coming. He appears in the sacrifice directly in his direct form. He's appearing as Rishabhadev, the son, directly as Avesha's Prithu. Appears before Prithu in his original form also. So keeps on coming and keeps on sending his reps. Keeps on sending his instructions. He doesn't give up. Krishna never gives up on us. He wants us to go back more than we want to go back. That's his dilemma. So that's his kindness. He's doing everything. He's doing everything for us. And especially now, in this particular time, generally there's no hope at this time. He's called Triyugi. He comes in three yugas. Usually he doesn't bother with Kali Yuga. He waits for Kalki to come. And Kalki doesn't give any instruction. There's no point. There's nothing left in between the ears. No brain. People are running around that big. One hand. No fruits, no milk, no vegetables. No sugar. So they're running around trying to eat something. So you can imagine what they're eating. No vegetation. So it's a hellish situation. So they're just like animals. So then there's no brain substance there. So then Kali comes, finished. All the, except for the few devotees that are still around, because the Lord will always make himself available to those that desire. So there'll be scripture somewhere, somehow or other. There'll be some kind of saint. Even if it means you take a bath once a day, you're considered a saint in the end of Kali Yuga. But there'll be some genuine, sincere people who are actually praying to God. And they will remain, and then Satyuga will start again. Because all the demoniac mentality will be gone from the planet. All those people will be killed. So then immediately everything becomes in the mode of goodness and everything will start to flourish again for a while. And then Treta Yuga comes, and then Dwapara Yuga comes, and then Kali Yuga comes again. So it's a real hodgepodge. The whole material world is a real mystery, right? Everyone's trying to figure out what this world is, all the philosophers, all the religionists, and who knows what it's about. It's so complex. So complex, so many details, so many rules. If you go to an advanced philosophy or religion, yeah, so many rules. So how will you ever, figure out what actually is going on and what is the purpose? Nobody knows. Who knows? Practically speaking, who knows? When you speak to somebody, who knows what is the meaning of life? Who knows who they are? What is this world? Who is the Supreme Lord? Who knows? Practically speaking. Ask anyone. Not amongst the devotees, but outside. They're still debating, right? The scholars are still arguing after all these years and writing books and finding fault with the others or saying... Everyone's doubtful because nobody knows. That's why Krishna personally comes and shows himself in his original form and does superhuman activities. So now do you believe me? You've heard about it, but how do you know it's true? How do you know? How can you say Krishna's God? How do you know? How do you know Prabhupada's right? He's so certain of himself. How do you know? How do you know? But Krishna comes and performs wonderful activities, shows his transcendental body. Of course you can't see in the previous verse, Rishabhadev says, my transcendental body, spiritual body, looks exactly like a human form. It's not. So therefore, because they see, as they think that spirit can't take form, right? Spiritualist or philosophers, they think spirit is something ethereal. they can't conceive of spirit having form, because then it must be matter. But why can't there be spiritual form? But they can't get it into their paradigms. So when Krishna comes in a form, then he says, the fools deride me when I descend in a human form. They don't know my actual position of transcendental, supreme. I'm controlling everything. Everything's coming from me, this form. Eternity, knowledge and bliss. But unless the Lord reveals it, you're not about to understand it. Seeing the Lord, many people saw Krishna, but how many people surrendered to him? So it's not a question of, I want to see God. Of course, generally seeing, for devotees or for sincere people who actually want, then seeing God means experiencing God. It means there's no ignorance anymore for the aspiring people. It's not, you see God, but it's more than seeing God, it's actually knowing God. There's a complete removal of all ignorance. You can actually perceive God as he is, as much as he wants to reveal himself to us. But for the non-devotees, that doesn't happen. They see his form. He's an extraordinary person, but, Krishna doesn't reveal that to them because that's not what they want. If they want to challenge or use their own intellect, Krishna will give them the opportunity. You play games with them. If you don't want to understand me, you have to accept me unconditionally. To understand me fully, you have to unconditionally surrender to me. Then I will unconditionally surrender to you. That is a normal position in the spiritual world. Krishna sold out to his devotees. He says here, is the next one, or did we pass that one? about the brahmanas. Yeah, I'm inclined to the brahmanas. The brahmanas are the best of all. Because the brahmanas is, brahmana means one who knows Brahman, or who knows para-brahma. So they're the best of all other people in the world, because they're the only one who knows what's going on in the world, so they can actually give direction. So Krishna's obliged to those people. He's obliged to them because they're doing what he wants, what he wants everyone to do. So they're representing him here. So he's obliged to them. He's not to, then he's obliged to them. He likes to serve them. they become very dear to him because of they're doing what he wants them to. They know what to do. Therefore, the king so has had the brahmanas for advisors how to administer. So not much hope in this world today, Prabhupada says, unless there's a devotee as a head of the country, then it won't be very satisfactory situation. Because the devotee will have, he'll have direction. Otherwise, who has any direction? Which government? Maybe one or two in the Arab world, who supposedly govern their people on religious tenets, scripture. So they don't do that. In fact, they separate it. It used to be like that, but now they separate. And we don't find that the quality of life gets any better. And even if it does, there may be more convenience, but what is the end result? Because nobody knows the purpose of life. You're simply going to start some kind of ism. That's why there's so many different theories, so many different government political parties, because they think that one idea is better than another. But nobody actually knows. So even if you're the best of them are altruists, who supposedly live for others, selfless people. But what do they want for those people? I'm selfless, okay, I'm sacrificing myself for the humanity, for other people, but so that other people can do what? They can live comfortably, and have a good life, right? They don't have anything more than that. I mean, it's for their sense gratification. So that's just extended sense gratification. They're more liberal. They have some satisfaction. And then they start to think about others. So they become selfless in that way. They want to help others. But what is that help? It's how they can enjoy their senses. How they can be peaceful and happy. So it's the same thing. It's just sense gratification. Because there's no concept. So only a devotee, he knows what the actual real purpose of life is. So actually only a devotee can give the proper direction. Nothing else would actually satisfy, nothing is actually sustainable for satisfaction and happiness. So, especially now, so it's our good fortune that we're born in this particular time, and you know, just a few years from the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, so you get his teachings very much intact with the parampara. It's only a few generations, and he's given a very simple thing, because you know, people don't like austerities, and you know, actually we came here to enjoy the material world. So he's made the religious process of this age kevalananda, simply enjoyable. You like to enjoy. How do you like to enjoy it? So how do people like to enjoy in this world? when you want to celebrate and have a good time, what do you do? Right? Have a party, you come together, there's music, there's dancing, right? There's eating nice food, right? So that's, okay, this is what you like to do. Okay, I'll make the process like that. You come together, but this is what you chant. And the words you chant, this will be your intoxication. You don't need anything to loosen up a little bit. People like to take something to covers the ego, then they don't mind making a fool of themselves. So, but this will be your intoxication. It will be the holy name. So it's a simply a joyful process. What the karmis endeavor for whole week or even longer, we 4 o'clock in the morning we're doing that, right? It's a big item. They're working hard all day so they can do that, right? We get up in the morning at 4 o'clock. We start chanting, dancing. So it can't get any easier. And if all you got to do is move your tongue and your finger, you don't have to stand on your head. Or it can't get any easier. You don't even have to move your finger if you don't want. You don't even have to move your tongue if you don't want. You can just sit down and remember. You can chant in your mind, or you can remember Krishna's pastimes. It can't get any simpler than that. You don't have to do anything. I mean, work, that is. You can't make it any simpler, right? Still, it's so difficult. Krishna consciousness, so difficult. Oh, it can't get any simpler. Move your tongue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Do it all together, then you feel ecstasy, then you want to dance. And when you dance, you're going to get hungry, so then you're going to eat some prasadam. That's it. That's what Mahaprabhu is showing, right? What did he do? What is Mahaprabhu's life? They even gave up sleeping, it was so nice. Right? So waste of time sleeping, less chance. For years and years, they had all night kirtans down the road, every night. Waste of time sleeping. we're missing so much nectar. We could be chanting. So that was his program. So that's accessible for us also, provided you actually surrender to his idea, accept his idea, change your own paradigm, and just accept his idea. So just see how kind the Lord is, that He's always keeps on coming, keeps coming, coming, coming. Wake us up. Come on, come back, come back. Every age He's coming so many times, so many times. Sending His representatives, sending His scripture. Sending disasters. When we get too far off, send a big disaster to get us back on track, you know, world war, catastrophe. Everyone gets down, oh God help me. Okay, no. See? Keeps on. He doesn't give up. But we're so stubborn. No, I can do it my way. Isn't it? I'll do it my way. We won't give up. So stubborn. Foolish. So that then we have to stay a little longer till we come to our senses. But we don't stop. As long as you don't stop the process, then all the it will come. But it may take, as long as sincere as you are in practicing, that to that degree it will come, the goal will come quicker. So it behooves us to become, take Krishna consciousness as the utmost importance. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is not a question of choice, it's a matter of necessity. Otherwise you stay in the material world. So therefore we hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day, association of devotees, all those things, troublesome things, they go away. And gradually that attachment to Krishna gets stronger and stronger. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shabadeva ki jai, Chirvopada ki jai, Taiga Pranamandi, Hare Krishna. Any comment, question for those who want to stay? Already it's over. For those who want to leave, it's 5 to 9. We're mentioning one must follow authority. Well, choosing the service. Then, what is the question? How to choose Seva? Well, everyone has a Seva, so it's only, you can do it one time. You don't have Seva. I'll give you Seva. Walking on the blade, Krishna consciousness is a time. Right, one should be very careful. Padam padam yadvipadam. Is it Prabhupada said, a razor's edge or tightrope walker. If you walk on the tightrope up high, you have to look ahead. You can't look down, otherwise you go to pieces because there's no net. So you just look ahead, you're fixed on the goal, and you put one foot there, one foot there, one foot there automatically. But you're fixed on that point where you're going to, and then you can go across easy. But if you look down, then oh boy, you lose it. So therefore you don't never look down, you see. So it's saying in Krishna consciousness you never look back. You've gone this far, so you must have faith that this process will save you. Is there another process that will save you? that will get you back to Godhead, Krishna Loka. So you should be convinced of that. There's no other process that's going to do it. And you've met a pure, you've seen pure devotee, right? You've seen a pure devotee, or even if not, you've heard or read about one, or seen a film, or so all those. So how do they become pure devotees? The process they followed is the process that we're following. There's only one process. Shravanam, Kirtan, Smaranam, Ayatam, there's nine devotional. There's only one thing that everyone follows. So if one person becomes a pure devotee, that means the process works. So we see many people become pure devotees. So we should have faith in the process. If it works for one person, it will work for anyone. It's just a question of time, and according to your when you start, according to your sukriti that you started with, and according to your sincerity of your attitude, and over and above that, the mercy of the Lord. But it's one process. Everyone has the same process. And it must work, because one person has become a pure devotee, at least, right? You've seen, we have seen. So you should have, you by practical experience, or recent experience, you can see that someone's become a pure devotee by following this process. And it was mentioned in the history that this is a process you get love of God from. And we see people have got love of God from it. And they're telling us to do the same thing, and not telling something else. So why won't it happen? Why doesn't it happen to us? Huh? Lack of faith. That's all. And Krishna's mercy ultimately. How to overcome fear of preaching, because often surrender to the spiritual authority. You're selling some books. They get to like you. You don't mind giving a book. Ask questions like, my sister is sick. I have this problem. I know what you mean. No, there shouldn't be any fear there. I mean, I get it every day. I got it this morning. Two times this morning, people gave me their family problems. Dr. Nisingadev, I have to take it, deliver it. But that's what you can do, because at least they're pious, they're respecting you. They know that a sadhu can do wonderful things, because Krishna acts through them. So when they tried all the doctors, then they come, they'll try the sadhu, the materialistic people. They go to the holy place, or go to the sadhu. So they have faith. So you could just tell them, well, there shouldn't be any fear, just that I'm an ordinary person. I'm a servant of the devotees. But I can pray to Krishna that, you know. A otherwise, you can start the priesthood. Just tell them, look, materially you can't change anything. You're suffering, you know why you're suffering, because of your previous disobedience to the laws of God. Now, you've got so much coming, and you can't stop that. Krishna can stop it, but you can't stop it. There's no material solution to the material problem. You may avoid it this way, but it'll come another way. Adiatmic, adidaitic, adibaltic. You have a certain amount of suffering coming, and you can't stop it. Krishna can stop it. So we shouldn't go over in Dera just to trying to cure that thing. This is what Maya's business is, to keep us absorbed. This is how I spoke to the devotee this morning. He was speaking to me. So, Spirit, I can pray for you because Krishna can change it, but we can't change it. We can't change the nature. You may be able to avoid it, but it'll come another way. Adiatmic, adidaitic, or adibaltic. It's a karma, you see. And the karma is under the control of Krishna. He can change it, but we can't. So, Krishna recommends you tolerate that. Not completely, you have to. Defense is the first law of nature. If you get sick, take medicine, but depend on Krishna. So Prabhupada's suggestion. But don't go overboard. Just the purpose of existence is not just to be comfortable and safe. So then you forget that the material world is so problematic. That's all you do all the time. So then you forget the real purpose of life. You're just trying to make ends meet. So you can preach to them like that. I will pray to Krishna. He can change it. I can't change it. You can't change it. Krishna can change it. I have a connection with the temple. I will go there and I will pray to Krishna when I go. Okay. You preach to them. Don't be afraid. No, you're telling me I'm not a healer. I'm not a healer. I'm just a servant of the devotees. I will pray to Krishna that I pray to Krishna that you may help you in your life. But personally, I have no shakti to do that. So use it as you can preach to them even more. But put them in their place. Tell them, explain what they're trying to do, what the real purpose of life is. When they get free from the problem, what will they do? They won't surrender to Krishna. Will they? Ask him, if I bless you, say, okay, if I bless you, and you get free, what will you do? You'll carry on the life as normal, or what? So at least they're coming, they have faith, you see. So they're coming to you, they respect that. The sadhu has some shakti. But explain to them the difference between material and spiritual. So you can use that for preaching. Don't be frightened. Don't be scared. They have faith, they're coming to you. Okay, any other question?
When you were talking about universe and how everything goes around and go back to his destruction and then we'll get back to goodness, all the souls that sort of have tried to have a connection with Krishna, what happens to them at that time?
At the end of Kali Yuga?
Like, you know how you're talking about all the yogas?
Yeah. Yeah, they stay here and the atmosphere changes because Kalki comes and he kills everyone. He moves at the speed of mind. I was thinking, how can a person kill everyone with a sword? Well, yeah, there's no atomic weapons. But apparently he moves at the speed of mind. So it doesn't take long. And then all that's left on the planet is devotees. I mean, pious people, because he doesn't kill those. So it's the mentality, the demonic mentality of people who want to exploit the material nature for their own benefit that causes all the catastrophes that nature doesn't produce because they're not performing any dharma. But these people will be pious and it will be dharma that everything will start to flourish again and it will become very nice. Satyuga. And you'll live for 100,000 years. And but that will be followed by Treta, that will be followed by Dwapara, again Kali, again Satya. So the point is to get out, not to move into a better situation, because you can't stay there, you see. Okay, I know you're going to ask a very esoteric question. Yes, for the doubting person, there's happiness in this life, nor the next. Sorry? Why does it happen? I don't know. We're born with doubts. We're born in darkness. Doubts are part of the conditional life. We're born into ignorance. No knowledge, and you don't know what's going on. There must be doubt. But now you can be doubtless, because we have Mahaprabhu's promise, and we have the Acharya's promise, that simply in one lifetime you can go back to Godhead. So you simply tolerate this lifetime, with doubts, without doubts, with all the faults, without faults. You just tolerate your happiness and distress, and try to, as much as possible, tolerate. And use that time that you save in serving Krishna's service. That's what he wants. And Maya's doing her job to absorb our attention materially. So as far as possible, try to become indifferent to happiness and what I like and what I don't like. Try to become a little indifferent for that if on the material platform. and do something positive, like what Krishna likes and what Krishna doesn't like. Do and avoid those things. Hare Krishna. Sivobhari ki jai. Hare Krishna.